So, first off, if I could have you, say your name, position, basic introduction.
Okay. I'm Lance Fortnow. I chair the School of Computer Science at Georgia Tech. I've been active, very interested in peer review, particularly on the computer science side, for several years now.
And so, what areas of academics have you done peer review in?
Mostly in computer science and a little bit in mathematics.
Could you sort of just walk me through the process that you use when you are actually reviewing a paper?
So, let's talk a little bit about how it works in computer science, which may be a little bit differently than in many other fields. So, computer science tends to we tend to actually give more prestige to our conferences than our journals. So we have a conference review process, and we have and in some cases we also have journal reviews as well. Conferences tend to have tight deadlines for submissions, and then reviewers, say you're on a program committee for a conference, you'll get a certain number of papers to read, and you may farm them out to other scientists to review. So for a conference review, typically you don't necessarily have time to check all the details, but what you try to do is you try to understand how important the paper is. I work on the theoretical end of computer science, so I tend to so our papers tend to be a bit more mathematical. So you tend to see what are the new ideas and what are the importance of the results and whether you believe the results. So whether the arguments, I mean, maybe you don't have a chance to read the entire details of the proofs, but you can get a good idea of if you think that the ideas that they're giving out are in fact new and do establish the results in the paper.
And so, I mean, you said that these have sort of tight deadlines, which is a little bit different than your typical academic
Right.
journal review. So, like, how much time do you actually have to look through these?
Let's say for a conference review, I would spend maybe a couple hours on a paper. You know, an hour or two on a paper. I mean, I've also done a number of journal reviews, and there you go. There you don't have such a tight deadline. And there you, then I typically spend maybe a full day on a paper, trying to understand what's going on in the paper.
Do you ever have any sort of interaction with the authors of the papers themselves?
Well, not as a reviewer, because we tend to want to be independent and also anonymous. But I've also served in editorial roles, and in that case, I've certainly interacted with the author. And as a reviewer, if you have questions for the author, you tend to go through an editor or program committee chair to contact an author if it's needed. Some conferences also have a feedback process. So there's an initial review, and then the authors have a chance to respond to the reviews before final decisions are made.
So, I mean, you said, I mean, you are chair of a computer science department. You do typically review things in computer science, but you did mention that you have done a little bit in math. How have you sort of seen these, or what are the big differences that you've seen between the two processes outside of just conferences being bigger than the journals?
So in mathematics, well, there's a different style of paper in mathematics. Mathematics tends to focus on the math itself. Often there's very little justification in the paper. Usually the results sell themselves. And there's a much more focus on the details and techniques in the proofs. And of course, because there's more focus on the journal paper, it's more critical that those get done quicker. So they tend to, Oddly enough, I mean, there's no, there's, well, there's not necessarily a tight deadline on math papers. There is this expectation to do it very quickly, like within a couple of weeks, where in computer science, a full journal review could take months. And math journal reviews also tend to have fewer reviewers, maybe even sometimes just one, just because there's so many more to do.
And the computer science, you end up having more reviewers.
Yeah, you tend to have two or three reviewers for a journal paper, or even more for conference papers, because you want to get a multitude of opinions.
Have you ever had? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, it's interesting contrast that sometimes it works against it because, sometimes in computer science, if you have multiple reviewers, each one sort of trusts the other one to actually do the careful correcting of the careful checking of the paper. Where in mathematics, if you have a single reviewer, they know they're fully responsible. So it's not always necessarily more reviewers are better, I find.
That sort of leads me into another question that I wanted to ask. Have you ever had a review that has gone wrong in some way?
Well, many times. I'm trying to think of this. I mean, there's many ways that reviews have gone wrong. Sometimes there's a reviewer who's biased against a certain topic or against a certain author, and they don't acknowledge it up front. So I've seen issues where papers have gotten bad reviews, but not necessarily because the paper's bad, but because of, personal opinions of the reviewers, and then it's another reason that necessarily you might want to get a better review or a different review. Or in some cases, I've seen papers rejected that probably shouldn't have been. Of course, it's gone the other way too. I've seen papers get accepted because reviewers are biased the other way. So I think there's issues there. There's occasionally been issues where a reviewer will review a paper and then work on the results themselves, which they're really not supposed to do. So they'll review a paper and then they'll say, "Oh, I can figure this out. You should make me a co-author." Things like that, issues like that, which really shouldn't happen. Generally, if you're a reviewer of a paper, you have to pretend you've never seen it when you review it. Let's see, what other kinds of issues? I mean, on rare occasions, it's outright plagiarism. For someone to review a paper and then write their own paper based on a reviewed paper. Well,
Wow.
that's pretty rare. That's rare. I should say that's rare.
Yeah.
Or not really, you're right. It's so, I think there's an ethics that should come with these things that not necessarily. And sometimes it's very tricky issues. I mean, you review a paper and you realize that some of these things were done before, so you have to, somehow you have to connect, you have to realize maybe it's your own work and then causes conflicts. You have to work with the editor on it. It's a challenge to find. It's also sometimes it's a very challenge to find qualified reviewers. Sometimes it's a very narrow field. So there aren't a lot of people who are qualified reviewers, and they're kind of tired of reviewing the same other authors over and over again. So sometimes it can take a very long time to actually find a good reviewer if you're an editor. The review process is tricky. And it's also sometimes the reviewers don't do a great job. They'll just do a cursory look at the paper when they should do a more in-depth review.
Did your perspective on peer review, from an author's perspective, change when you started actually doing peer reviews yourself?
Well, something comes to true in conferences. You know, when you submit a paper as an author, you know, particularly when you're a young author, like a grad student or a young professor, you send away your paper and then you get this answer, yes or no. Maybe a little bit of explanation, but mostly you just get this answer. Either paper's in, your paper's out. And especially if you're early in your career, it can make a big difference to your CV, your resume, if your paper is accepted or rejected. So you put a lot of weight on, you kind of have this assumption that there's this very careful process that carefully figures out which papers are better than others. And so if your paper is accepted, you kind of feel that, wow, my paper's really got this huge stamp of approval, and your paper's rejected, that that obviously it's no good. But when you actually get involved in the process itself, when you learn how the sausage is made, you really get an appreciation of just how random the process is. I mean, there's the great papers that will always get in. There's the bad papers that will always get rejected. But there's this huge range in the middle. And where the line gets drawn is sometimes random luck. It's sometimes, you know, it depends on the particular interests of the people on, say, a program committee or an editorial board. It could, you know, sometimes it's even affected by what order the papers are discussed. So there's a lot of randomness in the process, and it has to be, because these papers aren't, you know, exactly, there's no perfect way to line up, you know, to compare two papers and say which one is better. So you have a whole bunch of pretty good papers, and somehow you have to, you know, especially in a conference where you have a limited number of slots for people to talk in, so you take in a limited number of accepted papers, you really have to somehow draw the line somewhere. And so you have to decide, is this going to be some papers that are going to be in and some papers are going to be out? And so there's this huge randomness, and you don't really understand that randomness and understand how difficult it is to make those decisions until you get your hands dirty in the process itself.
Do you remember when you first did a peer review, how that first came about?
I'm trying to think. I think I actually did one as a grad student once. And I think when you first do it, you take it extremely seriously. So, you know, I carefully read everything. You know, you really worry about every single word you write in a review. And I think also sometimes you're a little more careless. When you're younger, you tend to be more, like, sarcastic in your reviews if it's a paper you don't like. I think as you get older, you'll learn that that doesn't really do any good. It's, you know, it's better to give more constructive criticism than to give, sort of just direct negative statements in your reviews. But yeah, no, it's
and
a
does
tough,
that
yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and does that kind of extreme carefulness of, like, going really in depth sort of change as you do it more?
I think you get a better, once you start reading lots of papers, you get a better feel for what's important and what's not. That, you know, from the broad, sort of, you cannot. I think when you start doing it, you worry much more about the trees in the forest, as they say. You worry about the details, and sometimes you lose the big picture. And when you get older, you realize it's really the big picture that's more important. So you focus more on the ideas, because the details tend to work themselves out. So, and maybe they got the details not exactly right, but those things can be fixed. But you really realize that it's really big concepts, and that's what you really have to focus on, and that's what's really important. And that you should really appreciate a paper for its big, important ideas and not for the 40 pages of gory details to make the proof, you know, work and be exactly right. And probably no one's going to read those 40 pages of gory details. No one's going to read besides the authors and the referees. So you should focus more on making sure that the big ideas are right and the big ideas are well presented. in a paper. And that's kind of what you really appreciate as you get older in the field.
Is there some area of peer review I should be asking about but have somehow missed entirely?
I mean, peer review is becoming a very active, I mean, there's a lot of discussion on peer review. And how papers are reviewed. That's been going on in the computer science community and the scientific community as a whole. I mean, right now we've kind of had this, you know, traditionally we've had this model where things are sort of done in secret. So there's this whole, there's a big movement toward, well, I don't know how big, but there's a movement towards maybe more open reviewing. It used to be that, I mean, this kind of reviewing came out of the systems of communication. So journals came out of, you know, basically you would have meetings of famous scientists, you know, like the, you know, from like the Royal Academy in England. And then they decided, you know, it'd be a good idea to write down all these scientific discoveries. And so you had the Proceedings of the Royal Academy, say, and that becomes like one of our first journals. And then after some point, we start to see more and more journals, and these journals have to be, selective just by space reasons. And so then they have reviews and they have to make decisions on which papers get accepted or rejected. And that's sort of where the reviewing started coming up. And you know, and also we want to make sure these papers are well written, so we have people check all the details and give suggestions to the authors. Sometimes have back and forth, and this kind of whole thing developed. Computer science sort of became a discipline really in the 60s, late 60s. So we came to, as a field, sort of in this age of where we could now travel relatively easily. So we started having these conferences, and that's where results kind of got presented in these conferences where we had these meetings. And so we have these proceedings of the conferences. And it became the conference themselves became the actual selling point. So the limits were not, you know, paper, but limits were talks, you know, how many talks could be presented at these conferences. And that's why I believe that conferences became so important in computer science, because we are actually a relatively late field in the fields of academics that are out there. But what's happened in the last, you know, since the 90s is now we have the internet. And if you see how results are announced, they're not announced by, you know, presenting at a conference like they were when I was a grad student in the 80s, but they're announced by, most results are sort of announced by being posted on an online archive system. So it's no longer that we're using journals and conferences to announce results so much as just kind of highlight results. And but there might be a thought, you know, for just, you know, there's basic, first of all, there's no limit to the number of papers we could put on these online systems. In fact, most of these online systems allow pretty much anything that's not sort of a joke paper to be published, you know, on these online systems. The goal is not to be restrictive. So we have these online systems, and now maybe there's a thought that, well, what if we open these online systems and have open peer review? So you can actually have people leave comments and maybe even be public, and then use that back and forth to go with the author to make the paper better. We also seem to be moving more towards, for better or for worse, metrics for judging papers, like the numbers of citations for a paper, or, you know, what's known as an H index for judging, an academic. And citations don't care where the paper appeared. It doesn't care whether the paper appeared in an official journal or in or even in a, just posted on an archive site. So we've got these metrics now that really aren't so dependent on whether or not the paper's been fully reviewed. And I think that also might be changing people's views on, you know, do I actually need to have the paper officially reviewed? I just need to have people looking at my paper. So I think, you know, I think we're still all figuring this out. I think this big challenge is also these issues of not completely unrelated, issues of open access, issues of, papers that are, these publishers that are still keeping their papers behind firewalls, and new rules at the NIH and the NSF that are going to force papers to be open access after a certain amount of time. How is this all going to affect how reviews get done, especially if sort of the funding model for conferences and journals gets changed because of the open access, and that may mean less resources to do proper reviews, or just require more field time. Anyways, lots of big challenges out there that I think a lot of people are trying to think about. I know we're having lots of discussions in computer science, how to deal with all these changes, and I'm sure other fields are doing this as well. And people are trying lots of different models for publication and lots of different models for reviews. And I think how we do reviews 10, 20 years from now is going to be vastly different than how it's done today.
No, I will look forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah, so will I.
Professor Fornow, thank you so much for giving me your time today.
Okay, thanks.